Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. We are so fortunate to have on a variety of guests way smarter than we are to share their, industry and life expertise. Maybe laugh along the way. Today is no difference. I'm excited. I don't know if she is. I can't tell if she's nervous or like, she's very stoic right now. Frances R. Flynn. Did I get it right?
You did.
Outstanding. Chief Disruptor for Disrupt HR Jacksonville. Bachelor's in Psychology from UF.
Right.
That's pretty solid. And then a Master's from Chicago School in Industrial and Organizational Psychology.
Yes.
So are you like judging us all right now and over there just taking mental notes?
Yeah, the psychology degree comes in handy, at least to intimidate people.
It's even working.
I'm
freaking out right now.
Yeah. I mean, you will never know what
That's good.
I'm diagnosing
That's
right
good.
Now.
So we're going to talk a lot about Disrupt HR specifically to Jacksonville. Tell us your story. How did you end up falling into this? What do you love about it? Like, just to start there.
Sure. Yeah. So just to go back to the beginning, as a psych major, which I did have a passion for, just learning about people, I had to quickly figure out what was I going to do with that. My last semester of undergrad, I took an IO psychology class. And I loved it. It really just kind of fit along with some of the other interests I had. And it was really lucky too, because I was at the end of my time. So I really needed to know what to do. And so I took the opportunity to study further IO psychology. Going to grad school was kind of the natural next step. At the time, there were not a lot of IO psychology programs. UF didn't have one at that point. They do now.
I thought you were raising your hand, Trey. IO stands for Industrial and Organizational Psychology.
Correct.
So and when you say IO, I'm just making sure I got that right.
Okay. Yes. And also, it's such a mouthful, so that, you know,
yeah,
that's
what I'm just... IO, I got it.
Yeah, IO.
Yeah.
So, I went ahead to pursue my master's degree. This program in Chicago was a great opportunity because it was a practicum-based program, meaning that, you know, I'd have experience with adjunct professors who were in the workforce, and I'd be able to do internships and just a little bit more hands-on experience. So Chicago was a great place for it. And I loved the program. It was after a few years up there, too cold. That's ultimately why I had to.
So I was going to say a couple questions. When you're finishing at UF, is that when you think, I'm going to go into HR? Or that was like, I'm going to continue the education, and then that's when the HR flip went off.
The HR thing, that would be a big hell no at that point.
Hell no.
It was never HR. I never thought of HR at that point.
Nobody does.
They don't. And why? I mean, it's probably better because then HR wouldn't really be able to recruit people.
We'll get there. We're going to probably poke fun of HR quite a bit. I like
it's
to.
Fine.
Chicago or Gainesville? What's a better place to live?
Oh, Chicago. I mean, Gainesville's great. I love Gainesville, but it's a teeny little tiny town.
It's a college town.
It's a college town, and it's, you know, just real limited in what you can do there. So Chicago is like one of my favorite cities.
You said
ever.
You loved Chicago.
I did.
Is there a Disrupt HR there?
Yes, I think so. I've not been to one of their events, but
I'm gonna say Disrupt HR over and over because that's ideally what we discuss. I printed out a map. This is around the entire world.
Right.
This is not just in the United States.
International, but it did start in the Midwest.
So it started in the Midwest.
Ohio, I want to say.
It's tough to see. I don't know that. Like, if you go on the website, there's a map. The United States is packed. Yeah. I think it's cool that we have one in Jacksonville. That's the point I'm getting to. But you look Australia, all over Europe, South Africa. South America, I can't tell where that is on the map, but again,
yeah.
Disrupt HR, it's not a small event. It's not just local to Jacksonville. So what is Disrupt HR?
Yeah, Disrupt HR, it is, it's an opportunity for HR professionals and non-HR professionals to get together and share ideas in a format that's different than what a lot of us are used to. You know, the concept when it started, it's, the founder is the CEO, or I should say, is Jennifer McClure. That's the chief excitement officer.
Shout out.
Yeah, she's awesome. I don't know when she started Disrupt officially, but you know, I think it was just kind of a brainchild of her wanting to do something different for HR professionals and to do something that was easy and just accessible and fun. And so that's the kind of the premise of it. You know, it's the format itself. Is there's some flexibility in how you hold your event, but the premise is you have speakers get up and talk for 5 minutes. That's all they get. It's timed. Yep. There's a PowerPoint presentation that automatically rotates. So it's not someone putting together whatever they want and just, you know, having at it. Like there's, you get up there, you get 5 minutes, you get 20 slides, 15 seconds, and it's, and that's it. You better be ready.
Go ahead, Trey.
Does everyone use slides or do you have to have slides? I guess would be my
you
question.
Do. You do. Yeah, you have to have slides because ultimately the other component of Disrupt is that every talk is recorded. Okay. And so the beauty of it is that this is going to be broadcast for people to see and share all over the world. And so beyond the event that we have, you know, you have locally, we want to be able to spread this knowledge all throughout the Disrupt community. So
disrupthr.co, C-O is the main website.
Right.
And then there's a drop-down box, like 200 cities across the world, maybe more.
Okay. Yeah.
Now I am going to call out the website because I went to Jacksonville's and my talk from last year is not on that website. I don't think anyone from last year was.
So, okay, we might need to navigate.
Let's hear it. Let's blame hear it on the cameraman.
We might need to navigate. Is there a, can we screen share and you show me what?
We'll drive the commercial break.
I went earlier because I was going to print it out. But back, the format too, this is what I like. If you go to HR conferences, in my experience, a lot of these talks are minimum 30 minutes, sometimes an hour.
Right.
That's a long presentation in any industry, right? To keep someone's attention for an hour, good luck. 45 minutes, good luck. You have 5 minutes to go on stage and present, and that's it. And then the way the slides work, they change every 15 seconds. So if you want one thing to last for a minute, like I hate PowerPoint. When I did mine, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to repeat this slide 4 times to be 60 seconds. It's very unique, I would say.
Right.
Adrian, you want to add anything? You've been to it before.
I have been. Yeah. We went last September. I was really kind of, I didn't know what to think in terms of how this was all going to play out with like the automatic slides rotating and just 5 minutes to say something. But it really kind of force the presenter to drill into what their most important takeaway really was. And I think starting with that, because that's kind of how they all were forced to lead their presentation with like the big idea first,
right,
made it so much easier to stay engaged the entire time. And then almost at the end of time, instead of starting to doze off as we often do when people are presenting, unfortunately, I was like, no, I want you to keep going, like elaborate more
right
on that idea. So it was just a really fun way, you know, to stay really quickly engaged and hear a ton of different perspectives.
Yep. I think that's the beauty of it is that, you know, with a regular sort of conference presentation, whether it's 30 minutes or an hour or whatnot, majority of participants are going to just walk away with one or two things from that, really. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of knowledge that you're going to get. You maybe have the slide deck and you can go back to it and you can reference a lot of that good information, but you're ultimately going to just leave with a couple kind of highlights anyways. And so this is just doing that in a condensed, fun way. And then you can, you know, you connect with folks, you get the contact info, and then you can go back and talk more about whatever.
Go ahead, Trey.
Are there like roundtable feedbacks, like where, I don't know, let's say Eric crushed it or didn't. Does he get any feedback from you guys live, or is that kind of just something you off in the corner if you wanted to ask? How does that work?
I mean, not in the moment, okay, but I mean, enough. If the audience laughs at you or they are quiet or they start crying,
I mean,
then
it's
you're
only
gonna
5 minutes. People can bring it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
This is perfect to talk about. Like, I would really recommend, like, who should be going to this? I think anyone that works in HR, you have all your vendors, your payroll vendors, your obnoxious employee benefit vendors, love you 212 benefits. Thanks for sponsoring the show.
Shout out.
But again, it's very unique, and anyone who's been to one anywhere across the United States will know exactly what you're talking about. You know when someone crushes their 5 minutes versus when someone's kind of like
crickets.
You can see it in the crowd. Yeah.
You can feel it.
What's off limits to talk about, and what do you think people should talk about?
So there's really nothing off limits, and you
all thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. And you ask kind of who is the best, like, you know, attendee group. I think it's anybody. Of course, if you work in HR and that's your, you know, that's your realm, then there's going to be a lot of stuff that really sticks out to you. But I love to have attendees who, if you just work, I mean, if you're living a life of luxury and you
sign
just like
are
not doing, you have no obligations in any way to anything in the world, like you're going to be like, I don't really care. But if you step foot into an office building, if you have to engage with colleagues or you know, any for any reason, you're gonna get something from this event. And so, you know, that being said, our speakers, we kind of leave it wide open. And I do appreciate, you know, the presentations that are really thoughtful and you're getting that one or two, you know, really relevant HR related points across. I kind of like wouldn't care if someone got up there and talked about gummy worms. Like
I was gonna say mayonnaise.
It could just be anything. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the most awkward or bizarre thing someone where you're just like, oh, I didn't expect that. Curveball.
So there's a presentation that stood out from last year beyond someone who dropped a bunch of F-bombs, which was also great.
That was me. Yeah. I was the F-bombs.
Yeah. Which, like, getting people's attention. Like, that's and the message there.
When you get a room full of people saying the F-word together, like, it's pretty exciting.
It is. It's kind of cathartic. So yeah. That was a good, yeah, I like
so
that.
So last
approach.
Year, I'm curious which one you're...
The one that shifted the mood in the room was we had a speaker get up and talk about death, actually. Oh.
24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was
Yeah.
Good.
Jonathan Eisler. Yeah. He got up Shout and out. Yeah, he was speaking on just kind of a philosophy that he lives his life by and something that's really personal and meaningful to him. But how does it apply in the workplace? And it kind of was like, if you knew this was going to be your employee's last day on, you know, not just in the office, but on earth, how would you treat them? What would you do with them? Oof. So everybody kind of like got somber and it hit home and some people were crying and it was great. Yeah.
Yeah. You said it too, like who should be in there? If you work in a professional environment, it's all over the place. Someone talked about memes one year. I thought it was hysterical. Yeah. Made it HR, but it's not, they're not lecturing you on compliance or how to fit in. There is company culture stuff, but it's definitely a unique event. What about, go ahead, Trey.
Are you allowed to incorporate music in your presentation?
So you can answer these. I don't want to answer all these questions.
Well, we have a walk-on song for everybody.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
all right.
Music, I mean, we have a DJ. We have, right? This is not like your regular HR event. It's a cool HR event. Yeah. Yeah. Music, yeah.
Can I just check out for a second? One demographic that I don't know how well represented they were, because obviously how would I know? But I think that if you are the owner of a company and you're on some sort of C-suite level, I think that it would be really beneficial to attend these events because it really gives you an insight into what your employees are thinking about,
right?
What your employees are dealing with, the type of comedic relief that I think some people are desperately looking for in the workforce. So I think as a business leader, specifically as an owner, I think that you're really like missing out on an opportunity to get some sort of insight into what's going on in this cultural movement at work if you're not attending those events. So
That's good.
Go buy tickets, disrupthr.co.
Yeah. We'd love to have all the leaders attend and for them to gain that insight. And the other thing too that I think would be appealing for that sort of demographic is that, depending on the industry, maybe too, but like being at a level like that, you're someone who is probably sort of dynamic and a go-getter and someone who's maybe doing something a little bit different. And so it would make sense that that audience would also like really get a lot out of it.
Do you know what we haven't said once that we probably should? When the event is and
where
it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got it written down. Do you want to say it? You want me to?
You go for it.
Disrupt HR Jacksonville. September 17th from 5 to 9 at the Beer Hall at Intuition Ale Works. So September 17th, 5 to 9, the Beer Hall at Intuition Ale Works.
That's it. It's a Wednesday evening. So midweek, you know, you come have some beverages and come out for the afternoon, evening.
Food. Again, great there's spot, a DJ the there. Like
it's a great spot. It's awesome. A music venue. I mean, they have some really good concerts there. It's a great venue.
I went 2 years ago to watch, spoke last year. Again, it's just fun. And then you talk about who's in the room. How do you get feedback? Afterwards, anytime someone speaks, they come with like, oh, that was great. Or, oh, this moment was good. And then other ones, you see them standing in a corner by themselves, like no one coming up to ask them about their talk. That's when you know.
I mean, could you sign up just to get some practice on public speaking? Like, I'm a business owner. Let's just say I wanted to go and be like, let's hone the skills in. Is that an option?
Trey,
or
it's kind of like, I will pencil you in for 2026.
Talk about that. What's the application?
I mean it.
Talk about the application process, how you pick your speakers, the team that you're working with.
Right. So the event in Jacksonville, we hold one event per year. Disrupt HR, different chapters can do it different ways. Again, there's a lot of flexibility in how you manage your chapter. And so for Jacksonville, we wanted to do it just the one time and make it really big. And so we have it at this venue that's kind of got this energy as far as live performances. You know, it's not a conference room. It's not a library. It's like, this place is fun. It's got a bar. We do have some great food. So you can come after work and just get a bite to eat and, I mean, make a night of it. And then as far as the speaker setup, we do 10 speakers. We kind of found that's a sweet spot. The first year, I think we ended up with 8. And then I think we tried like 11 or 12. And they are, you know, just 5 minutes each. But by the time you get rolling,
yep,
get people up and down off stage, you have an intermission, like 10's kind of the sweet spot. So we'll do 5 speakers, intermission, then 5 speakers. And the application process is in line with what the rest of the chapters do. This is one of the consistencies is that we open up a speaker application. So it's just really a matter of how much advertising we can put out there. And if the following, we have a pretty decent following on LinkedIn and Instagram, but to say, hey, it's open, go submit your application. And then from that, we go through to kind of gauge who we want to speak.
I think, again, referrals, word of mouth, so past speak. You can only speak 2 years, right?
That's a Jacksonville thing. I mean,
I think that's good, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we want to just keep things dynamic, yeah. And so that's kind of what we
stick
to.
If you have the same person coming 4 years in a row, like, I love that. So it's 2 years.
Yeah.
Maybe it's referrals, word of mouth, but you apply online, and then who's going through the applicants to determine, like, oh, yeah, that's good, or this person, it's not so good.
Yeah, it's the team. It's the team that we have. So it's myself and 3 other individuals, Carly Kluke, Natasha Slaughter, and Elaine Kors.
Yep.
And so that's the dream team.
I love it.
We all kind of have our different areas that we manage to get the event in place. You know, they really are the brains behind all of this. I just run around and ask them, what can I do to not, you know,
get
mess it up?
Mm-hmm. That's my full-time job.
Yeah.
What can I do to stay
everyone
out of your way?
Needs someone to do that. And so I'm so grateful to have these ladies. You know, I was able to recruit them because I thought this is a group of folks, yep, who are going to make this event good. I don't want to waste anyone's time. I don't want to waste my time. I want it to be a really good event that we knock out. And so it's kind of exclusive in that we are just, you know, planning this event and then able to make it what we want. Pick the speakers that we think would be the right fit for Jacksonville, yep, the venue and everything else. I mean, that's all us just kind of going, this would be the kind of event we want.
I should mention too, for speakers, you get this like state-of-the-art, really expensive, top-of-the-line trophy. This thing is made of solid plastic,
okay,
by the way. But it's sweet. It's one of my favorite
things. Cool. That's one of the coolest gifts.
Come on. That's way better than a glass plaque.
Thank you. And it came battery powered already. You didn't have to get your own batteries.
There's a charger on this thing. I mean,
it's pretty clutch.
Well, and let me just go back to say, Disrupt is, you know, it's sort of a labor of love, right? We're doing this because we love HR, which is just weird to say.
Yeah,
but
that is weird. Not healthy.
I know. But here we are. You gotta love it to do it, right? And so you know, Disrupt's not even, what did Jennifer say? It's not really a nonprofit. It's like a no profit.
I like that line.
There you go. That's what you get. And
that's a good transition too. So you have markets all over the United States. When somebody plants a flag, we had talked about the Gainesville market. There's not one there. Are people doing this in other cities? Like, I'm going to make money on this. We're going to get like, is that a goal for some places?
Maybe. I mean, if that's the approach, I don't know. I don't know if it's the right, I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't know if that's a great business model. It's not one that I thought would really be lucrative. But I mean, at the end of the day, for those who help plan it and we're putting our time and energy into it, you got to get something out of it.
Yep.
I just love to do the event. I love networking. I love making the connections because, again, to work in HR, you got to have that community. You know, you really want that, especially for me, having that, you know, in Northeast Florida. I'm from Jacksonville. I love Jacksonville. Jacksonville has some challenges in growth, right? But I think Jacksonville really needed this. And so I love it for that. But if you are a broker, you know, depending on what you do for work, if you're a consultant, like hopefully you're making those connections that are really beneficial to make it worth your time.
Well, I think the second half we'll probably dive into some serious HR talk, like very specific nerdy stuff.
Okay.
Not really. I just want to tell ridiculous stories about human resources.
I want to talk about benefits. You know, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh, like get someone else in here. That's. So sponsorship. So this is funded by sponsors, right?
Correct.
Or some of it. How do sponsors find out about it? Are there any sponsors you're excited for this year? You can give them, this is our shout out opportunity is basically what I'm saying. Anyone you want to shout out for Disrupt HR Jacksonville?
Absolutely. So shout out to 212 by all means. We do have some sponsors that are returning this year, and Carly's going to kill me because I don't have
the list
with me.
Maybe the commercial break.
Show notes.
Yeah, please let me get that so I can give them some shout outs. But it is entirely funded by sponsorships actually. So where's your Bercy? Yeah.
I would consider it's a good investment. Like you're in front of your logos everywhere. I don't know. I don't remember sponsors having an opportunity to speak directly, but it is a room full, 150 people?
It'll be about 150 people. And the big thing is, and this is part of what makes it fun, it's not a big sales thing. Like we don't want, you don't get up, the speakers don't get up and talk about what they do for work and try to sell you something. Like that's actually one of the rules that you can't do.
Okay.
And so so we stay away from that. And the sponsorship, arrangement, again, ours is funded by sponsorships. There are other groups that may do it differently. You can really, you can do it however you want. But for our sponsors, we want to give them an opportunity to come in and get the exposure to the attendees, of course, but it's not stuffy. We don't have sponsors like, at tables, stationed up, buttoned up. Like we've set it up to where now we have what we call the swag table. And so the sponsors come in and they put all their goodies down this year. This is big announcement, top secret. Now I will reveal.
We're gonna say it now. Mm-hmm.
Some bags. We're gonna have some swag bags that have the Disrupt logo, and so we're gonna be able to give those out, and you can fill up your bag and get all the goodies from the sponsors. Chopsies. And the sponsors can go around and just really socialize. It's not. I mean, at majority of those kind of events, the sponsors are kind of. There's a structure to it, and that works. There's great ways to make relationships in that way, but. This is not that. This is like, hey, let's walk over to the bar and get a beer and just chat.
You nailed it. This event, Disrupt HR Jacksonville, September 17th, 5-9 at the Beer Hall at Intuition Ale Works. I'm going to keep saying that over
Thank
and over.
You.
You're not walking into a bunch of booths like, all right, I got to go talk to this person for 2 minutes to get my free pen. Like it's basically a party and a celebration with some interesting 5-minute talks.
That's right.
Yeah. Man, just like that. 24 minutes past. Francis R. Flynn, Chief Disrupt for Disrupt HR Jacksonville. That's what the hell just happened! Welcome back to the second half of What the Health Just Happened. If you missed the first half and you're on the radio station here, good news is you can catch it on your favorite podcast or YouTube under What the Health Just Happened. I always laugh. Apparently we're on YouTube and I've never seen it on YouTube. But anyways, Disrupt HR Jacksonville, we have the Chief Disruptor, Francis R. Flynn. Does some HR work too. We're going to tell some HR stories, but talked a ton about Disrupt HR here in Jacksonville. Coming up in a couple weeks. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. Anyways, you can listen to it if you want to or don't. Your call. Healthy or not healthy? Remember how the game works?
No.
So speed round. I'm going to ask you a question. Is it healthy or not healthy?
Okay.
So like healthy or not healthy working with Comcast?
Very not healthy.
Healthy or not healthy Chicago winters?
Not healthy for me.
Healthy or not healthy working in HR?
Healthy.
That was a very hesitant answer
that
there.
That was a pregnant pause.
Pregnant pause?
Yeah.
Healthy or not healthy Disrupt HR?
Very healthy.
Healthy or not healthy streaming services?
Not healthy.
This is stuff we talked about earlier, like how much we pay on streaming services.
I got
to
cut
Comcast.
Them down. I'm doing it.
Here's one. You mentioned something earlier. Healthy or not healthy, paying staff more to keep them with an organization.
Healthy.
Yeah. And can you?
I mean, the right approach, obviously. You don't want to do anything that's going to skew and make bigger issues. But obviously, compensation matters. I always tell folks that. I mean, a benefits package is great and you want it to be good. But that paycheck is what is keeping people in the door.
Let's
why we all show up.
Let's talk HR. That's kind of a good transition because before we talked, you're in a situation where you're essentially negotiating for someone to get a higher salary. Mm-hmm. there is a sweet spot. Like, when would you pay someone more and when would you say, no, we're not paying you more?
Right. I mean, it's always a case-by-case basis, but you got to look at what's the value that they're going to bring to the organization? What is going to be the cost to try and find someone else who can do it, especially if it's someone looking to leave? Because there definitely is a cost to, you know, bring someone new in the door and get them trained. So I think that being as flexible as you can be with compensation is a great business strategy. I think that what you should always consider, though, and what the employee needs to understand is that you don't want to price someone out of their role. That's not actually going to help anybody. So you want it to be in line with what is, you know, competitive and fair across the board. I love having the organization I work for has a great compensation model, very, very well structured. And so, having good comp data and being able to defend why you're paying what you're paying, candidates respect that. And even if it's not maybe the exact number that they want, then, they can see that you're making a smart decision for a good reason.
Do you want to chime in? Because I have thoughts on that too. It's like a double-edged sword, right? If someone consistently comes back and asks for more money every single year, do they deserve it? And oftentimes they do. Sometimes they don't. And then it's a trend where it's like, I can go and ask for more money. But like you said, having that information, like this is the most you can make in this position. In order to make more money, you either have to find another position or find another organization. That's not, I don't think that's mean or disrespectful.
I don't either. And actually pay transparency has really made a lot of movement. I mean, and I think that's great. I think that, you know, certain states have more transparency than others, but it's evolving to more transparency and awareness because it really just helps people to understand. They just want to understand why they're getting paid, what they're getting paid, and what the potential is. And that's kind of one thing that I always go back to in my role as an HR professional is that this is what we can do. And if it's not for you, then that's okay.
The other thing I was thinking too, you said the cost of losing that employee and rehiring someone is oftentimes more than it would have been to just be like, oh, they want how much more a year? Yeah, like that's... versus overthinking it. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me. But Adrian, I need a raise, by the way. So
yeah, you're always in favor of those raises, huh?
The squeaky wheels.
Just give everybody more
money. They always get the grease?
False. Everybody's fired. HR. I have a love-hate relationship with HR. I've been a terrible employee before.
Before?
Currently? Okay, maybe currently still. What do you love about working in HR?
We talked earlier what led me to HR, where'd my interest start. It wasn't out of college because of psychology. It really wasn't. Whenever I finished with grad school, it was in 2008. It was a horrible time to be finishing.
Terrible time.
I mean, really the worst, because there was a lot of, I had a lot of interest in consulting and really focusing on areas of growth within a company that, you know, maybe leadership development, training and consulting, or training and development. And so a lot of that stuff was being cut out because they had to go back to bare bones.
Yep.
And so that bare bones was managed by HR, right? And so I found sort of a beauty in the fact that for me, having that stability was just important. But also once I got into it, I saw how I could approach HR from an IO psychology standpoint. And HR is absolutely, you know, a facet within IO psychology. But for me, it just totally clicked, because what I really love about it is that, like we talked about, unless you just really want to go to work because it's just everything that you love and maybe you don't need the money, you got to be there. If that's not the case and you aren't just sitting on piles of money, you got to be there. Why aren't we sitting on piles of money, right? I wish
yet.
I were.
Not yet.
But so you've got to be there. And for employees who are showing up and they're, you know, putting all this effort into whatever that organization is doing, the mission of that company, I like that HR can support the employee. And obviously there's a side of HR that's not fun, that people don't want to go to HR for. And, you know, there's all those interesting stories that we could, you know, talk through.
Yes.
But the side of it that I love is that whenever someone is in a pinch, whenever they do need to take leave for some family-related emergency. And we say, okay, we've got FMLA and we've got some benefits here. And we've got all these resources that are going to help you get through this hard time. That's what I love. I mean, it's just helping people do their job and make their life just hopefully easier.
Yeah, it's one of those things you don't appreciate it until you need it.
Right.
Right. Okay, counter side, what are some things that really frustrate you about HR?
I will say that depending on the industry that you're in, that HR ends up being a babysitter in a lot of ways. Yeah. And I just can't get down with that. I mean, I think that for me, I want to work with professionals. I want to work with folks who want to show up and do their job. And like, I like to work hard. I want to work with people who work hard. And so, so when you have people who just are causing mayhem for no good reason, and then HR does need to come in and manage that,
that's a no-go.
It's not for me.
What, okay, boss over there, what drives you nuts from an HR perspective?
What drives me nuts from an HR perspective?
Not HR that you have to work with. Like,
that's a loaded question.
When you, no. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What drives me nuts? I mean, really, I just don't like it when our staff feels that tension between what the HR approach could potentially be versus what they feel like the other leadership input may be. It's kind of hard to navigate the personal and sensitive side of things, but also help them to understand why that may not be possible from a business perspective. I think kind of bridging that gap for them and helping them understand that while still being empathetic, I think that that's a hard spot to be in sometimes.
Yeah, I have an angle that I take on that as an HR professional.
Yes, help
which me. Is which is that which is to not make HR have to be the bearer of whatever may be the bad news. You know, to me, I'm a facilitator. Like, my job is to provide all the options, and I'm gonna outline what my recommendation may be, right? This is what I think would be probably a good idea for this approach or whatever we need to do. I'm not the decision maker though, right? The leadership is really at the helm. They have to decide what is right for the organization.
Yep.
And I am there to help them figure out what needs to happen to do whatever.
I'm always, like, I have my own thoughts on this. When does an organization need a HR employee? Because a lot of companies, we predominantly work with small to medium-sized business. We say 500 and less, but our sweet spot's probably 150 and less, right? Mm-hmm. At 10 to 15 employees, the HR person is a wife or a niece or nephew. Like, they just got that hat.
It gives me so much anxiety.
Really?
It does. I mean, but
we see it constantly.
Well, and that's just out of necessity, yeah. Right? I mean, if you're a small business, like, that's just not a function that you can build in at that stage. I would say, again, the HR nerd in me is, if you have one employee, you need HR, you know, but I understand that it just takes time. It takes growth. I think that unfortunately, a lot of business owners don't see the value in HR until it's too late.
Yes.
They want HR to come in and save the day whenever things have started to go south. Whereas if you bring in HR as soon as you can, that they can really help build a lot of components of the business.
So I'm going to throw out, these are my hypothetical numbers. I just think at 25 employees, that's when you're like, you probably need someone, like you should have someone. I know you said one person, but what a lot of people do is they don't put that in place till they get to 50. And
right.
That's when you're putting out fires that could have been put out 25 employees
ago. Right. Well, and when you hit certain numbers, that's when you have to implement some of these practices by law. Some that, you know, you really don't want to mess up. So
is it true or false that a lot of HR employees and conferences like to enjoy themselves after the work is over?
That's like the highlight. Maybe that's why they go, you know, just to have that camaraderie. Yes, they want to go learn and grow and have that professional development, but like, they need to get together and commiserate.
Go ahead, Trey.
Is it maybe just the caretaker? Like, so you've got nurses party hard, teachers party hard, HR party hard. People that take care of people seem to party hard.
Well, it's all of us who like don't get to have as much fun as we want to at work, probably. I mean, I shouldn't say
there
that.
We
maybe,
go. There we go.
Maybe, but it's like just real, you know, there's a lot that you have to keep in place. So you got to let loose sometimes.
You look at what the role is, right? No role is perfect where you're having fun all the time, but culturally those things are fun. Developing people is great. Good news is great. But then the counter side of HR, that's, we'll say, not great. You all can relate to each other. So anytime I've been to any HR related event, the content and material is good. Like Sherm Jacks puts on great stuff. But afterwards, like standing in a corner and watching HR staff, you all get after it a little bit. So I commend you is what I'm
That's
saying.
That's why, I mean, Disrupt was a perfect opportunity for me to, you know, just build that platform. It was like, this is how I want to socialize with HR professionals. So like, let me just bring it here.
Do you go to the big HR Florida thing in Orlando?
When I can. I haven't been in the recent
years. I'm always
years.
On the fence on doing that just because I don't know.
I mean, I like that they have that in Orlando. Obviously, Sherm Jacks does a big event here locally. Yep. So anytime I can go, I do. I'm pleased to say that we have a lot of folks who participate in that event and Sherm Jacks that participate in Disrupt. So there's some overlap kind of in the North Florida, Central Florida area. So it's great for us to have them come to us or us go to them. There's a couple Disrupt chapters around.
You don't have to answer this. I'm just curious.
Oh boy.
I like good firing stories. Like we had to fire this employee. Can you share one of those or is that off limits?
So honestly, I do take my responsibility to be sensitive to that very seriously. I do. So I won't share any specific stories.
Or one you've heard that you were not part of.
Wink, wink.
No.
I once had to track an individual down who left very disgruntled on foot, and we were worried about their safety. And there was a very big bridge nearby our office that I wanted to ensure that there wasn't going to be any issues there. Actually maybe more than once now. I've been told, and I don't know if I should take this as a compliment or not, that I'm very good at firing people. Yes. So
congratulations.
I was like, thank you.
That's
okay. It's all about being gracious to that person because they are a person.
Yeah.
And we care.
That's good. Were you going to try? Because I have a funny story I was going to tell about someone getting fired. I will not name names or a company. Adrian might know the story. Very quickly growing organization. They worked in manual labor. They installed roofs. I'll go ahead and say it.
Okay.
I almost want to say the company, but one of their staffs apparently had created a OnlyFans account and was filming content and material in her office with a locked door with their brand like everywhere. And I don't even know. One of the other staff went to the boss and was like, do you know about this? He didn't even know what OnlyFans was, right? And then he temporarily created an account. I don't know if he still has it. But
someone should have cautioned him that was not a good way to start that investigation.
But that's a fireable offense. That's not a like, hey, to me
this is not a performance improvement plan.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on like fireable offense? Because again, Florida too, there's a lot of CYA. That stands for cover your ass for anyone that doesn't know. Like, what's a fireable offense other than the example I just gave?
I mean, to me, something safety related is a pretty big deal pretty quickly. Especially if there's something violence or if there's some sort of a threat.
Yep.
To me, that's kind of like we don't play with that, especially nowadays. I mean, it's just the kind of thing that you can't say and act in some ways that maybe 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. You just can't. So I'm all about, Eric's like, I did something last week that I'm not going to talk about.
I have grown and matured significantly. But like me as an employee, my first job was as a firefighter. So everybody was
my
not
gosh.
HR compliant.
See, if there was industries I wouldn't work in, it's the restaurant industry. I wouldn't work for a fire.
Police, fire.
No.
Yeah. So then after the fire department, I went into corporate America and I was not easy
it's
to work
with. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I take that back. I'm sorry. That was harsh.
It's okay. So fireable offenses. Someone once said, what's the number one way to cover yourself from liability to your business in an HR perspective? And it's your employee handbook.
Right.
So a lot of organizations, most of them have it at this point. But to me, that's like a clear line in the sand that says, it says right here, don't do this.
Right.
Employee handbooks, waste of time or necessary?
No, totally necessary. I mean, because that is what you can use as a resource, as a reference, if you have to make any, employment decisions.
Yeah.
Especially, I like the signature. I want an acknowledgement. Yep.
Job description.
Yep.
Job description,
I mean, like,
sign it.
Yeah.
Handbook. Sign.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I've gone back to seek out those signature pages more than once to say, no, you agree to this.
C-line right here.
You did.
Yep.
Yeah.
What about the workforce right now? What are you seeing? Right. We're not talking about specifically, there's disrupt HR stuff, but what industries concern you? Some people like to talk about AI, how that's affecting the workplace, but with HR experience, what are you excited for, concerned about? Maybe neither.
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I think that things are turbulent right now.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a sort of turbulence like this and it stretches across various industries, you go back to what's critical, like what are some critical functions that we need to have? And like those industries are just whatever it may be, healthcare, things that are non-negotiables as far as like businesses that are going to stay solid and secure. Anything that's sort of just a little less critical, you know, whenever people tighten their wallets, it's like they'll take a blow.
You said exactly where my mind was going. We can see when people are turning the budget down,
right,
ahead of when it happens. And it ties into benefits that for whatever year after year, the costs go up. But like wellness products during COVID, a couple of years ago, people were throwing money at shiny objects.
Right.
And now the wallets are getting a little tighter. That's how I'm like, there's something on the horizon that's not, as a toxic optimist, some would call me. There's some concerning trends, and I think it's based off of tight wallets.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, looking at numbers, unemployment numbers, kind of what is happening more broadly, like that's going to be indicative, obviously, of areas of concern. But again, after going through in 2008, trying to find a job and how hard that was and what I saw, I personally have become someone who just really wants to find something that's stable and stick with it. I admire those who do kind of, have the ability to kind of run after something more shiny and kind of maybe just more of an adventure or whatnot. There's a lot of reward with that, but there's more risk with it. So that's kept me.
I like that perspective. That a lot of people don't talk about. It's okay to want consistency, structure, like this is the role I want. I'm fine doing that for the next 20 years. That's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's glamorized to be an entrepreneur and chase dreams, especially with social media, but it's a grind. I don't think, like you think you're just going to flip a switch on, create a website and pay your bills. Good luck.
No.
And talks about that stable position that you're a linchpin within an organization. You need to be there. Your job's never going anywhere. Maybe you only get a 3-6% promotion year after year, but that's okay.
Well, and there's a lot. Yeah. It just depends on what your personal, what's exciting to you and what your personal goals are. I do find a lot of value in that. And for my employees and working in this industry in HR, I really value those employees because they are really what kind of keep things in place. If you have someone, we talked about pay, compensation. If you have someone who wants to move around every couple of years, that's great. And maybe they're getting great experience and they're really kind of expanding their just overall, skill set. But they're also potentially doing that because they're able to jump up 5, 10, 20% in pay. And again, that's a great strategy for some people, but it depends on kind of the culture within the company. If you want to see someone, if you want to have an employee that's coming in and is going to stay with you and really contribute for years to come, then when you see someone who's jumped around a bunch, you might go, what does that mean?
Yeah, I immediately go to an example, specifically in sales. Employee benefits, consultants, payroll vendors. I love like making fun of our industry. I don't care. Maybe it gets in trouble. If you see someone that goes from one agency to the next in 2 years and then to the next in 2 years, and then like they've hit all the shops.
Right.
They interview real well.
Right.
But do they produce and sell? I'm guessing not. They're negotiating a higher salary.
Yeah.
That's a red. In certain situations, there are red flags for me. Like, I don't, that's not a great track record. But I have no issues with someone bouncing around.
I think if they're able to contribute to the extent that they say they're going to and they really bring that to the table, you know, like, good for them.
Clear
and good
expectations
for the company.
From day one. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Again, I'm not to knock payroll companies, even though it's fun sometimes. But a lot of salespeople in that industry go from one vendor to the next and then stumble into employee benefits. Idiots. I'm kidding.
I've never been on that side of it all. I can appreciate the grind that goes into that. And I love my vendors who, you know, they're trying to get their product out there. And
no one's an idiot, by the way. I'm the only idiot, by the way. sales is a grind. You have to be built specifically to do sales.
That's
not in your box.
So far from it. Yeah.
Okay. Last random question here. And then we'll do one more plug for Disrupt HR Jacksonville. We had talked about you're sitting on gobs of money. I love this question. You get to do it. So you have as much money as you want. What would you do? Like, would you start a nonprofit? Would you travel? Like, I don't know.
It's a great question. I don't even allow myself to like ponder that, Eric, because like it's just painful. You know, I don't know. Painful. I don't know what I would do. I of course would love to travel. I would love to just to kind of live a life that's a little less traditional. You know, I was just talking to my husband about this actually. Like, you know, we're in it. Like, we're in the grind. Like, and
we're in the trenches.
We're in the trenches. We got three kiddos, and there's school, and there's work, and there's home projects, and there's all this stuff. And you got to find the moments where you can really appreciate life in the midst of all that madness. And it's hard to do sometimes. God, so
we should have talked about this the whole time.
Oh, if I could take away some of that and just like be just more. I went through a big thing last year with one of my kiddos, had a health scare, and everything stopped, and it was awful. It was the worst thing I ever went through. I also saw a major beauty in the fact that everything stopped, because
I have chills.
It was legit. It showed me what matters, and I tell myself to that, you know, that to this day is, Francis, this doesn't matter. This stuff doesn't matter. So would money help me kind of figure that out? Maybe, because, you know, I like my bills paid, so I'm busting my butt every day. But of course, you know, there's all sorts of other avenues that if I could throw money at some problems locally, I would. God knows.
We have they're not core principles. They're not. We call them our degrees, like our degrees of separation. One of ours is money matters, and that's like money matters to our staff. It matters to our clients. It matters to everybody. That's okay. I think where we lose ourselves often is chasing it so hard that we lose sight of. Like, I have food on the table.
Right.
I have a roof over my head.
Right.
I wish my roof was bigger and my AC didn't break all the time.
Right.
But it's just tough to do.
It's tough to do, and things are only getting tougher right now.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that an event like Disrupt, just for example, bringing folks together, if we can get folks together to have some fun.
Yes.
For a reasonable cost. This is an easy thing to do. To just remind each other to care about each other and love each other and treat each other well, because we're all, a lot of us, except for those people sitting on piles of money, we're all in this together. You know, like you run into someone's car in a fender bender, and a fender bender, get into an accident. It sucks for you. It sucks for them. It sucks for everybody. Yeah. Like, let's just be like, shit, you know, this happened. Let's not be so hard on each other.
That's great. It's also a great way to wrap the show up. September 17th, 5 to 9 at the Beer Hall at Intuition Aleworks. Disrupt HR Jacksonville. Great event. I love it. It's a blast. We didn't mention the sponsors. So Empyrean, First Stop Health, HSA Bank, Guardian, The Bailey Group. Is it Klukey?
Klukey and Tebow.
Yep. And Paychex. So
that's right. And huge shout out to all of them, because that is how we hold this event. So
yes.
Our sponsors are everything, and we appreciate them so much.
If you aren't registered, check it out. Again, Disrupt HR Jacksonville. Wonderful events. We have our chief disruptor of Disrupt HR Jacksonville, Francis Arflin. What's wrong with me? That's what the hell just happened.